Hi everyone, today is Wednesday, January 10th, and my name is Gail, and I am a recovered Al-Anon, and we'll be leading this meeting. We want to welcome everyone to our Al-Anon Big Book Recovery Meeting. This is a step speaker meeting that meets every Wednesday night at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will study the 12 steps by using the precise instructions out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous as they relate to us as Al-Anons. Let's get our meeting started. This is the original AA preamble written by the AA Grapevine describing the fellowship in 1940. We study the preamble with an open mind and open heart to consider how it applies to Al-Anon. This helps us to stay focused on the message of recovery the pioneers intended while observing the traditions in action. Through the actions taken based on the instructions of the basic text, we comprehend what the pioneers meant when they described the member of AA, which is that they worked a program of recovery and they no longer drank. In our case, we no longer obsessed over the alcoholic. Through continuous action and study of the principles, the understanding of the value of the original preamble reveals itself. We ask for your humble consideration of our sincere admiration of the pioneers of Alcoholics Anonymous. The simple hope is that we of Al-Anon will grow into the simple clarity and unity that birthed the original 12-step fellowship, because without them, after all, none of this would be here. Okay, the original AA preamble. We are gathered here because we are faced with the fact that we are powerless over alcohol and unable to do anything about it without the help of a power greater than ourselves. We feel that every person's religious views, if any, are his own affair. The simple purpose of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is to show that what may be done to enlist the aid of a power greater than ourselves, regardless of what our individual conception of that power may be. In order to form a habit of depending upon and referring all we do to that power, we must first apply ourselves with some diligence. By often repeating these acts, they become habitual, and the help rendered becomes natural to us. We have come to know that, as alcoholics, we suffer from a serious disease for which medicine has no cure. Our condition may be the result of analogy, which makes us different from other people. It has never been permanently cured by any treatment which we are familiar. The only relief we have to offer, is absolute abstinence, the second meaning of AA. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Each member squares his debt by helping others to recover. An Alcoholics Anonymous member is an alcoholic who, through the application of and adherence to the AA program, has forsworn the use of any and all alcoholic beverages in any form. The moment he takes so much as a drop of beer, wine, spirits, or any other liquid containing alcohol, he automatically loses all status as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. AA is not interested in sobering up drunks who are not sincere in their desire to stay sober for all time. Not being reformers, we offer our experience only to those who want it. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and on which we can join in harmonious action. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our program. Those who do not recover are people who will not or simply cannot give themselves to the simple program. Now you may like our program, or you may not like, but the simple fact remains that it works and, we believe, is our only chance to recover. There is a vast amount of fun included in the AA Fellowship. Some people might be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there lies a deadly earnestness and a full realization that we must put first things first. And with each of us, the first thing is the solution to our alcoholic problem. To drink is to die. Faith must work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. In order to set our tone for this meeting, I ask that we bow our heads in a few moments of silent prayer and meditation, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I wish to remind you that whatever is said at this meeting expresses our own individual opinion as of today and as of up to this moment. We do not speak for AA as a whole, and you are free to agree or disagree as you see fit. In fact, it is suggested that you pay no attention to anything which might not be reconciled with what is in the AA Big Book. If you don't have a big book, it is time that you bought one. Read it, study it, live with it, follow the directions in it, and learn what it means to be an AA. End the preamble. A sponsor is anyone who has had a psychic change as a result of working the steps and the willingness to work with others. For those looking for a sponsor to guide them through the steps, please stay tuned and have your pens ready to record phone numbers immediately after the meeting. Each Al-Anon group ought to be a spiritual entity having but one primary purpose, that of carrying the message to the Al-Anon who still suffers. This is our primary spiritual aim. Our job as a group is to provide people with a place to learn about and work the steps. It has been our experience that working the steps consistently provides us with a better, saner life. We consider all else to be just an outside issue. This includes personal problems. The proper venue for sharing such problems is with a sponsor. This is, after all, where the real recovery takes place in working the steps with a sponsor. We are just so glad we are all here, and we are all here because we are not all there. There will be a period of fellowship after the meeting. If you have questions, if you need a sponsor, if you need to check in or get current, or if you want to discuss other literature, please stick around for the fellowship. That would be a better time for these subjects. Okay, so let's get into our meeting. Last week we went over steps 1 through 3, and I would like to do just a little recap of those. So let's turn to page 59 in our book. And step 1 reads, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. So here it's saying we had to admit that we were powerless over our way of thinking. That was what brought us here, right? We knew something was wrong. Nothing we did or said was helping. Our life was chaotic and out of control, that we were at the point of desperation. But what does that mean? Well, if nothing was helping and our life was a chaotic mess, we were at step one. All we had to do for step one was to admit that was true. And we're here. All of us are here. And so, obviously, we were at that point. Step two reads, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So getting through step one, we had to come to the realization that we were powerless over our lives. The next step is to believe that there is a higher power. Believe that there is something higher than ourselves. Believe, just to believe that there is something higher. And to do this, we had to believe in him. So step one was to believe in the powerlessness. Step two was to believe that there was a power higher than ourselves. It didn't matter what faith you were. All you had to do was believe that. So on that same next page, we're going to read step three. And it says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. At this point, we came to believe that there was a higher power, right? Now we had to, what we had to do next was to release it to him, just to release it to him. Instead of us taking care of everything that we felt we needed to, we were going to release it to our higher power. All this time, we were playing God in our lives, right? Thinking that we could change everything into the way we believed was best. Now we were going to take all of that and turn it over to our higher power. We were going to give it to him to take care of and trust that he was going to take care of us. As Al-Anons, we've had that control for so long that this was really a hard step to make for some. We had to have complete faith that this was not our problem and our higher power was completely willing to take it and take care of it. So this week I'd like to go over steps 4 through 6. So let's stay on that same page, page 59, and we're going to read step 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now it's time for us to look deep within ourselves. This is something that is hard to do at first. We have to do a lot of soul searching to do this. During the soul searching, we have to think about our resentments, our fears, and our own sex conduct. This is a lot. This is something that we really have to dig deep within ourselves to find, right? At this point, you've probably been thinking, wow, that's a lot. Well, it is a lot. It's a lot to go over because we're thinking that our whole entire past, about our whole entire past. Where did it start? This was about us, guys. Our inventory that we must lay out there. It was about what our part in everything that has happened in our personal lives, in our work lives, and all of that. So let's turn to page 64. And we're going to read that first full paragraph, and it says, therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged and unsalable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. This is where a lot of people struggle. We had to take a personal inventory. And if you think back on it, us as Al-Anons, we thought in our minds that we were in control and that we had the answers for everything. We always thought that our way was the best way. And in our Al-Anon mind, no matter what we did, our way of thinking was the best for everyone. So in step 4, what we're doing is we're trying to get down to the root of our resentments. It did not matter what the situation was. We were taking inventory, personal inventory, within ourselves. This is tough. This is something we've never done before. I mean, sure, we've had some situations where we felt bad, and we said some things that we didn't want to say, and we've gone back and apologized for it. But all we did is we only went back to it and we did it over and over again. So this constant cycle. But we never looked inside of ourselves to try and figure out what the problem was. We always thought it was them. And at this point in our steps, we really had to dig deep down, and we had to think about our part, and we had to think about our resentments and our wrongs, right? Okay, so let's stay on that same page on 64, and we're going to go to the bottom paragraph, and it states, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. In step four, it is mostly about just thinking about our resentments, and we had to listen. Who was I resentful at, and what situation was I resentful at? Then we had to ask why we were resentful. We had to look at that inventory and dig deep inside of ourselves and ask ourselves what it affected in ourselves. Then we had to think about our wrongdoings in each of those resentments. This was something that we hardly ever admitted before. Isn't it amazing thinking about all those times where our Al-Anon mind thought that we were right, and all that fighting, all that controlling behavior, all of that manipulation? And any time that you have that feeling of resentment, we had to admit to ourselves that we made mistakes, that we had faults in all of our resentments, because to hide them or not list them could only mean defeat. And at this point, it was vital that we listed everything and not hide anything. All right, let's go back to page 62, and I'm going to read the second paragraph, and it says, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on those toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation. But we invariably find that at some time in our past, we have made a decision based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So we are selfish and self-centered. And look at that sentence again. Focus on the exclamation point. Selfishness and self-centeredness. This was our problem as Al-Anons. In our self-centered and selfish mind, we were fighting the fight because it was for the best. We are so focused on fixing everything that nothing else matters. Whether it be with someone who we live with someone who we work with our friends, our family, or situations, whatever, right? So now we had to think about all those situations, all of those people, and all of those we were resentful towards. We had to think about the people and the situations where we were selfish. We had to bring all of that up. No matter what the situation is, it is important for us to think about these and bring them up. We couldn't leave anything secret. Well, as we're thinking all of these things, we think about the people that hurt us. Why should we bring all of this up? I didn't cause it. But if we were feeling resentment, if we were feeling fear, if we were feeling any of these types of things, it needed to be put on this paper. No matter what the situation was, it had to be put on this paper, all of it. When we had to think about the effect, how did it affect us? What were we feeling at the time? That's the important part right there. Okay, So now let's go to the bottom of page 63, and we're going to read that bottom paragraph, the very last one. It says, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house clean, which many of us had never attempted. So our decision was a vital and crucial step. It could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to the causes and conditions. Okay, so up until this point, our world was about fighting for what we thought was the only way. And we were willing to do almost anything to get that point out. And all of us can relate to that. Even with everything that we might have said or done out of manipulation, out of resentment, we did believe that this was caused by the alcoholic. If only they would listen to us, everything would be perfect. But that's not what this is all about. This is a personal house cleaning. It doesn't have anything to do with the situation or the other person. This is a personal house cleaning. This is a personal inventory. Personal meaning us. This house cleaning has to be done for us to move on, because if it's not done thoroughly, according to the book, there will not be a solution. Remember, this book promises solutions if you follow it by its exact instructions. So we have to get down to those causes, and we had to get down to those conditions and those solutions. So, okay, so now let's go to the bottom of page 65, and we're going to go to that very last paragraph, and it says, we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As the more the victor only seemed to win, our moments of triumph were short-lived. So, yeah. So here, this paragraph describes the Al-Anon perfectly. As I stated over and over again, we were right, they were wrong. But we carried on with that resentment. So here we're talking about going through all of our past, and we had to be thorough and we had to be honest, which has been stated. And we had to dig deep, which has been stated. Again, when we talk about this, we think that, and we think, and we thought that they were wrong. And we blamed them. It was their fault. It was something they were causing. It wasn't something that we were causing. And then we blamed them for any situation, anything. And their alcoholism was the problem. It was all of our problem. It was the alcoholism and the alcoholic. I mean, our problems were caused by their drinking is what we thought. We often never took responsibility in our part. Because again, this was because of them, not us. We have kept this inside of us for so long, for so many years, covered up by our obsession over the alcoholic. And you know that resentment has built up. But in the end, when we want to fight, it never lasted very long. When you live this way for such a long time, that's all you know. But releasing all of this and getting rid of all of this will bring a certain calm in your life and a certain happiness. So, as I had stated, by releasing all, that's all we knew. how did we get to the point to where we knew that there was something wrong? That's what's bringing us all here. We searched out for something. We were told, hey, you need to try this or you need to try that. And we were told something. But how did we get to the point to where we knew something was wrong? And after so much fighting and so much, and it affected our personal life, that it affected our work life, it affected our everyday life, this constant obsession over that alcoholic, right? So we got to that point, and we get to the point to where it's like, okay, there's nothing more. I need to do something. Something's got to give. And in most cases, Al-Anon is a word that's out there. It's something that we investigate, something that we look into. And so we know that there's something wrong, and so we search out for that. It could be through counseling. It could be through something. In most cases, it's through the Al-Anon program. And so there's our solution, right? So we get to that desperation. We get to that point to where nothing else is working and that we were powerless, and it brings us here. So, okay, so let's move on to page 66. And we're going to go to that first full paragraph. And I'm also going to read the first couple of sentences. I'm going to do both of those paragraphs. Okay, so here it goes. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, the business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. And with this, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things were poisonous. So, again, we have to go through that personal inventory and make sure that we were listing everything as the book states. This is all about cleaning that slate. Because if we weren't listing everything, as these paragraphs say, if we weren't listing all of our resentments, it clearly states that we are shutting ourselves off from that sunlight of the spirit, right? We will return to what we were before. We came to this program knowing that something was wrong. Again, this book promises us a solution as long as we follow the directions and put in the work. That is why it is so important for us to list everything. And this is, again, really hard to do. This is there's some things that you just want to keep deep down inside of your soul, and you do not want to rehash it again. You don't want to bring it out again. You don't want to think about it. We've kept it deep down inside of ourselves for so long. But this is the time to do it. This is because when you are not doing it, you're not cleaning the house or wiping, as I say, wiping that slate clean. So in order for us to move on in the steps, we had to take a complete personal inventory. And only when we did this could we move on. We had to be completely honest with ourselves and with everything, or we would not be able to move on. Okay, so let's go back to page 59. And I'm going to move on to step 5. And it reads, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So at this point, what we needed to do was admit our wrongdoings. We had to admit them to our higher power. When we had to admit it to ourselves, that was tough, right? Now we were going to admit it to God. As we had So going through step four, we were listing all of our resentments and we were admitting to ourselves our wrongdoings. But then we had to admit to another human being, our sponsor. Our sponsor was going to know us probably better than anybody else did. We listen, we go over it with them, and we face up to them with our sponsor and a higher power. And by doing this, we were admitting to ourselves with the guidance of our sponsor. Because there's a lot of times where we're not seeing the full picture of it. And our sponsor is there to guide us through it, to get us to the point to where it was all out there. So let us turn to page 72 in our book. And we're going to go to that top paragraph. And it says, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in our program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. So after making our personal inventory, what's the next step? Well, we had to give it to God, our higher power. We had to admit to Him our part in all of our wrongdoings that we have caused. We had to admit it to Him. Then we had to admit it to ourselves. At this point, it becomes a very humbling experience. All the time we had put the blame on others. And we never blamed ourselves for anything that we did. To get to this part of the program, we had to admit to ourselves our wrongdoings by working with a sponsor and going through the steps with a sponsor. You are going to admit that to them as well. They are going to be your guide through it. This is the other human being that has what this paragraph is talking about. So let's go on to the very next paragraph on page 72. And it says, this is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reason why we should to do so. The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives, trying to avoid this humbling experience. They have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought that they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their story, their life story. So, again, here we're talking about completing this without hiding anything. I can tell you that it is very important that we are cleaning the slate, right? One of the things in this passage is that it is very important, vital for our program or our recovery and or our recovery, that we have to put it all out there and we have to tell our sponsor everything. Our sponsor is there to lead us and to guide us. And this is a very, very important to do this. It is easy to let some things go, right? It's easy to take those deep, dark, whatever it is, resentment, fear, whatever it is, and just put it away and not do it. But they have found time and time again that when you don't do this, you're not doing the program the way it's supposed to be done. This is something that we have to do. Previously, I have said that after we have done this with our sponsor, that person is going to know everything about us. They're going to know us better than anybody else knows us. And there's a lot of things that we have been hiding deep in ourselves for a long time. At this point in our steps, we couldn't forget anything. If you hit anything, that you knew needed to be on this list, we were just setting ourselves up for failure. There are a lot of things that in your life that you don't want another person to know. But this person is here to work with you through your program, through going through the steps, as long as you are willing to put in the work. And putting in the work means we have to list everything. We can't hide anything. We can't keep any secrets. This is something that has been proven over and over and over again, that once you clean that slate and then later on in the steps you learn how to keep that slate clean, it's going to keep you in this program working hard. Okay, so let's go to page 75, and we're going to go to that bottom paragraph. And actually, yeah, 75, bottom paragraph, yes. Okay, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an ark through which we shall walk free, amen, at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? So, what have we done so far? Okay, so we've made a list of our resentments. We made a list that was complete of our wrongdoings or resentments. Clean the house, clean the slate, and wrote it all down. We then admitted to God, ourselves, and to another person of our wrongdoings. Listed everything on this piece of paper and went over it with our sponsor. And going through step 4 and then bringing it to our sponsor, now we had to reflect on everything that had just happened. So in here it tells us that we're to return home, and then we're to find a quiet place and review on what we just did. We turned to page 59 and we read the steps 1 through 5. Then we have to reflect. Did we share everything? Was there something that I missed? Of course, if anything is missing, and we needed to write it down, and then we need to call our sponsor immediately and tell them what we had left out. After doing this, we were to start the hour over again. Again, this book promises us a solution if we carry it out exactly as it tells us. So we repeated the hour. During this hour of reflection on what we had just discussed with our sponsor, we had to reflect on the realization of our wrongdoings. I can tell you, we never fully realize until after we speak to our sponsor and they guide us through the realization exactly what our wrongdoings are. So then we are to use a full hour to be alone and reflect in meditation. This is a very, very important part of this step five. This part of the steps is very exhausting for a lot of people. But at this point of the steps, it becomes a feeling of freedom, because after you have done all of this, your slate is clean up to the point of step five. You have admitted to God, you have admitted to ourself, and you've admitted to another person your wrongdoings and your resentments and your fears and all of that. And it becomes a liberating experience, and it's very humbling. And to take that full hour and to reflect and meditate on that, it's just a total different way of thinking. So now we are going to go on to, we're going to go back to page 59, and let's read step six. And it states, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. At this point in our steps, we had admitted to God, ourselves, and another person of our defects, right? Now we had to believe that God could remove all of those defects from us. He was going to remove all of that, all of those character defects. We had to believe that our higher power could and would remove these character defects. This was vital to our program. Again, all of this is vital to our program, and I cannot stress it enough. But anyway, that was a lot, and that was something that felt so good to release all of that and then have our higher power remove it and believe that he can take care of it. Okay, now let's move to... We're going to go to page 76, and we're going to go to the very first paragraph, and it states, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. Again, so we've gone through, in this session, we've gone through 4, 5, and 6. Now we're at the point to where, like, we're entirely, as it states, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these character defects. So at this point, we have admitted to God our shortcomings. Now we had to ask God to remove all of those, right? All of the past, all of the wrongdoings. We cleaned that slate. We had to release this to God. So at this point of our journey into going through the steps, we're free of all of that. We're free. This point in our recovery is so important. It's a confession of sorts. By releasing all of this and being honest with ourselves, we have completed 4, 5, and 6. And now we're ready to go on. So in reviewing, we're going to go back to 59. Four made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects. And when we get there, we're ready to move on. We're ready to move on to number seven. Okay, well, that includes concludes my coverage of 4 through 6. So now let's go on. And it states, seventh tradition, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. This group does not have a payment structure in place and currently requires no overhead expenses. If you would like to fulfill Tradition 7, please direct contributions directly to the Al-Anon World Service office by visiting alanon.org. For questions about this meeting, or if you are looking for a sponsor, please send emails to alanonbigbookrecovery@gmail.com. Recordings can be accessed on YouTube by searching at Al-Anon Step Speaker in the YouTube search box. If you are interested in other Al-Anon meetings that follow the Big Book, please visit www.alanonbigbooksolutiongroup.org. Reading from Big Book, reading from the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose those to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something if you haven't got it. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand Him. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you will find, of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Now let's have a moment of silence for the Al-Anon who still suffers, followed by the Lord's Prayer, or a prayer of your own choosing. Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.